Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
Wow, we haven't had this many people in the studio since our last Share-a-thon.
Since the Radiothon. They're exactly right. But you know, when we do have this many people in the studio, the energy level goes up significantly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we better get right into it. Because
let's just jump right in.
I'm sure we're going to run out of time.
We have a lot to talk about today. One of my favorite, all-time favorite guests, Little Sisters of the Poor. I'm going to introduce you, and then I'm going to tell you a sweet story about Father Phil Bowers, Holy Spirit at Geist. You know, there's only one other outside collection that he will ever accept. Okay, well, actually two. Retired nuns and priests, the retired religious, that's the only time. And the other time, he invites the Little Sisters. And he never, if you ask him for any other thing, he will not allow second collections. He doesn't allow people to come in and talk. But Little Sisters, no question, always the Little Sisters.
That's right.
And so today with us, we have a room full of not only Little Sisters, but supporters of the Little Sisters. We have Mother Mary Vincent from the Little Sisters of the Poor. We have Linda Baer, who's the 50th anniversary chair for the Guild. We have Beth Hansen. She's the historian for the Guild. We also have Marianne Barathy, and of course, she's development for the Little Sisters. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
And you know, a tidbit that I found out right before the show was that Marianne Barathy actually, as a teenager, volunteered at the original home on Vermont. Well, that's wonderful. God bless you.
Thank you. It was interesting. I was at St. Agnes, and our sodality suggested we go volunteer at the Little Sisters. So I went a few times. I wasn't there a lot, but it was interesting. I fell in love with the sisters back then.
And still in love with them today. Mm-hmm. And still in love with them today. Okay. You know, sister, I wonder if you could start us off, because every time we have a consecrated, I love to hear them share the vocation story. And if you would, tell us a little bit about yours.
Yes, it's a little bit of love story with the Lord. And you know, usually, for me anyway, I would say that I really got seriously about wanting to be a sister when I was about 10 years old. My older sister entered the Sisters of Charity. From that moment, I said, you know, I want to be just like her. And so anyway, then I went to Catholic grade school, and thank God, Catholic high school. And at high school, they asked to have volunteers go over at the little Sisters of the Poor, which was about 10 blocks from our home, from our high school. So I used to go there every Sunday, and we would serve the residents. And I just fell in love with the residents and the sisters. I felt there was something very, very special about the sisters. And I thought, this is really a way I could serve God totally. I said, you know, I only have one life. I'm going to give it to God in a way that I know that I'm giving him totally. So anyhow, my sister in the meantime had been professed sister, and another sister that I had also entered. So I had two sisters of charity.
Oh my.
And of course, that kind of made it very difficult for me to choose another one. But anyhow, one day I was up at this, actually we went to a discernment session up in Seton Hill. And that evening I just realized, I said, you know, God doesn't want me to be a sister of charity. He wants me to be a little sister of the poor. That was hard for me to handle because everybody I loved was there, the teachers I had and everything. So anyway, this elderly sister came up to me, and she said, I was crying in the chapel, you know, wondering just what God wanted me to do. And she came up and she said, I'm going to teach you a little prayer. Now, young lady, she didn't know, I'm going to teach you a prayer. She says, you have to say to God, I want to go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over valley, over hill, over dale. I want to go where you want me to be, O Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. And I used to say that then. I said, that's a beautiful prayer. And I would pray it very, very often. Finally, I really got the call. I said, this is what God wants. And I was so happy when, after high school, I entered only 2 weeks after I graduated.
Oh my.
So I was very, very sure of what I wanted. And God has been blessing me all these years. We have a beautiful apostolate. And our apostolate is to take care of the elderly poor. Our mother found us, took the first little lady, picked her off the street one day. She was in France. Our mother foundress was 47 years old when she realized that this is what God was calling her to. And she risked her whole, she had no money. She was very poor herself. And she risked everything in picking that lady up. And she lived with an older lady who was willing to take this little lady into the house. This lady had been left penniless. She was out begging in the streets. Her only sister died, and she was also handicapped. She was blind and crippled. So it was a beautiful act of charity on the part of St. John Jugon. And that started this work. It's now worldwide. We're in most continents, and we have about 180 homes.
Wow.
And is that your main apostolate, sister, is homes for the aged?
That's right. We take the elderly into our home, and we try to make it very home-like for them. And you know, our guild members who are here today on their 50th anniversary here in the area, they have a beautiful saying. They say, they have a banner with a little sister and a man and a woman beside the little sister, and on it they have love made visible. And you know, that is the whole idea of the little sisters. We don't do a lot of teaching except in our actions, but we are trying to make love visible in our world today, and it is so needed, and the elderly do need it to know that they're loved, and that they represent for us this Heavenly Father, this love of God. God is love, so therefore love made visible is making God visible to the world.
Now, the little sisters are their own order. I mean, you're not Benedictine or Franciscan.
No,
or
it's the name of the order. Believe it or not, it started off, we were servants to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, it was decided, no, we're really sisters to the poor. We're one with them. Mm-hmm. See, the only way to be really one with the poor is to be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel that we are poor ourselves. And, our apostolate is kind of unique in this world today because we still go out collecting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted you to talk about that a little bit because I remember a time that you spoke at Holy Spirit at Geist. And Father referred to you as the little beggars of our community that you still beg. I mean, you still ask for money. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, see, that was also a thought of our mother, first of our mother foundress. She had nothing. She had very little, and they kept on asking her to take more people. So this one day she said they didn't have any food. So the little lady said, well, let us go out begging like we used to. She used to take Yeah. She says, no, you tell me where you go and I'll go for you.
Yeah.
So that's when she started. And she has a wonderful idea about this. We are all God's children. God made us, we're one, and we're very united in that sense that we're all responsible for one another. So when we go out and ask for, it's not only that we're going to grab all the money you have and have a great time for ourselves. Everything we have is for the residents and for our poor, for our apostolate. But however, we give everybody opportunity to serve. Some business people, they never can take care of feed the poor. Yet still, God asks us,
sure,
to feed the poor, to give drink to the thirsty. And if we can do that, we're one with the people that donate to us. So I always feel whenever we do a good Catholic action, a good action of love for God, making him visible to those around us, we literally, those people connect, and God's given us all these graces. And I believe the little sisters and the elderly that we live with, they're grace-filled. Mm-hmm. And they're very, most of them are residents, they are very saintly people. When we have their prayers, I count on their prayers every day. And you people that offer yourselves and give donations or something you have just to share, It's a sharing that God wants us. We're all family.
Mm-hmm. Sister, is your order, as far as the number of sisters, growing or shrinking? Or
well, like we're having our little challenges. Like when I first entered, there was 15 entered with me. Now, we still have some in the novitiate, mm-hmm. not as much as we'd like. We really need more vocations, you know. But however, we're pretty good. We have 7 in the novitiate right now, and there's some... You know,
and where is
in.
The Formation House?
The Formation House is in Queens, Long Island.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's quite a distance.
Yes.
So, but see, we're
But you're worldwide. You're all over
worldwide.
The place.
Yeah. If that's our home. In every country has their own novitiate. So ours is there. Then once after we make our first vows, we in the home for 5 years. The fifth year, we spend in our mother house in France, where we see where Sister Mary of the Cross lived. And so we're all different nationalities. We all try to speak French. That,
sure.
that can be kind of comical at times. But anyway, we do the best we can. With the language, and then we go over the rule together, and we know this is really, you know, what God wants of us. And after that, we make our final vows.
You know, we have with us today Mother Mary Vincent from Little Sisters of the Poor. We have Linda Baer, and she's on the 50th anniversary chair for the Guild. We have Beth Hansen. She's the historian for the Guild. We also have Marianne Barathy, and she's development. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
With all the things going on in the world right now, it's nice to have hope.
When I'm having a really tough day, it really helps me get through.
It's just like their program was just meant for you.
Catholic Radio Indy.
It's the only radio station I listen to.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Little Sisters of the Poor. It's you know, I think this is wonderful that we not only have an event coming up that will finally restore the Little Sisters to the position of, you know, I don't want to say prestige or respect, but it seems like the last couple of years you've been kicked around a little bit, and I think that it's not only a miracle, but a wonderful God moment that Indianapolis is going to recognize with a historical monument and a day and a physical presence, Little Sisters of the Poor. So for a long time to come, every time people walk past, they will understand and recognize the Little Sisters of the Poor and the gifts they have given to not only our community, but all around the world. So let's hear a little bit about that. We have Mother Mary Vincent with us. We have Linda Baer. We have Beth Hansen. We have Marianne Barathy. Let's talk about the actual event that's coming up. And you're actually going to have a marker, a historic marker that will be placed. So, and this was on the invitation of the mayor, correct?
The marker was the Guild's idea to recognize the Little Sisters. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary of the Guild and the 50th anniversary of the home, where they're located right now at 2345 West 86th Street. When the Guild was formed in 1967, our mission was to support the sisters in giving a home to the elderly poor. And our first project was helping them move from the original home to where they are located now on West 86th Street. The original home was at 520 East Vermont Street. And
how big was that home? How many do you think were housed in that home?
I think there were over 100 people there at the time.
Oh, so it was quite
in those days, they had dormitories versus where we have private rooms now. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, they were mainly a lot of widows, a lot of immigrants, and later phased in some of men that were the elderly poor. And our theme, of course, was Love Made Visible. That was the theme of the Guild. And the original home was there for 94 years.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
So wow. The committee got together and said, how can we celebrate the Little Sisters' dedications to thousands of residents through the years and commitment to the city of Indianapolis mm-hmm. for 144 years.
Yes.
They've been here. So we thought, how do you honor these courageous, strong women of faith who operate a major home for the elderly? And we also wanted to help bring some awareness of what the sisters do and remind the city of all the accomplishments that they've done for 144 years.
Wow.
So what do we want to do? We wanted something visible and permanent to represent their legacy. So we thought historic marker.
Historic mm-hmm. marker. And that's where Beth Hansen comes in, because Beth, you are a historian, actually.
Well, yes, I'm the historian for the Guild.
Right.
And so I was the one that got to do the research for this, which was a wonderful thing to be able to do. And one of the things I noticed when I would go back and do the research, the early articles in the Indianapolis Star or the Indianapolis News, they were lovely in the sense that you could tell there was a sort of sense of awe when they would refer to the Little Sisters. Everybody realized and knew what they were doing. The thing is that back when they started this in 1873 in the old home on Vermont Street, there were no safety nets. I mean, there was no Social Security. There was no Medicaid, mm-hmm. or Medicare, pardon me. And these people were truly desperate, or not desperate, I shouldn't say that, destitute, but they had nowhere to go.
Well, they probably were desperate also.
Well, that's true, yes, because they had nowhere to go. Sure. And the Little Sisters took them in without regard to, race or religion or ethnic background. The only restrictions were that you had to be 60, which at that time was considered elderly, and that you had to have no funds, no property. You had nothing. And the really interesting thing about it, too, was the fact that, as Mother referred to, the Little Sisters didn't have anything. And they would go out and they would beg for their residents. They took them in with love. They allowed them to spend the rest of their days there in dignity and in comfort and the respect of everyone around them. And so they would go out and beg downtown. And downtown knew them, recognized them. The businesses that were there were happy to give them funds when they would come around. And the Little Sisters just never lost their faith, not only in God, but in the fact that God works through his people, through the generosity of others.
You know, what's interesting, Beth, is as you're speaking, I'm thinking, you know, not much has changed in that the Little Sisters had nothing then and have little now. And the requirements haven't changed much. You still have to have, little to go in. And yet, the big contrast is, in 2017, we know lots of people, lots of our contemporaries, that could well afford to go into, a retirement home, except they want to go to the Little Sisters. I mean, that's because it's the anteroom of heaven. I mean, that it has such a reputation for, the Little Sisters has built such a reputation for the not only the kind of care they give, but walking into it. I mean, we've all walked into nursing homes where when you walk through the door and you're assailed by different smells and you just want to turn around and walk out. Except I remember going into the Little Sisters for the first time, and it feels like you're walking into home. I love the little gift shop to the side. You walk down the hall, and more often than not, you've got one of the residents who's selling their goods that they have made themselves. I love that. And they're really for a song. I mean, they're really so reasonable, but it really feels like you're walking into home.
That's nice.
And that hasn't changed. No. I'm sure that hasn't changed.
Now you were talking about a monument. What sort of a monument are they talking about building? And
What's the size? What's the marker?
Marker, I'm sorry.
It's the state historical marker. It's the standard blue background marker,
sure,
that you find on
so 3 feet by 3 feet
various
by 4 feet, sure, on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what will the designation say? What will it say? What's it going to look like?
Well, it will say that this was the location of the original home.
Right.
And it will explain what the Little Sisters did. And then it will also, on the back side, talk about the fact that the current home is on 86th Street. And that was another major leap of faith, because 18,000 individuals and businesses came through and found, when the Little Sisters found out they had to move, and they came through and found a property, found a home, moved them all in one day. And because of that, the Little Sisters have this home, a beautiful home out on 86th Street.
Now, is the current home something that the Little Sisters built, or was it there and they kind of moved, was it something else in the past and they moved into it?
No, it was a field. Yeah. It was a field that was Road 100 years ago.
So that was nothing. So nothing like it looks today.
Oh, Lord, no.
And now it's all crowded and over. I mean, now you're sandwiched in between all kinds of, and it's built on past that. So you were out in the middle of nowhere when you moved
out there.
That's
right. Our first, the mother that was made Mother Superior at that time, she told them she wanted to go look at property. So this was like all fields. And she said, I want to be near a hospital. And she said, I'd like a well in the yard. And, you know, and so they're walking, and she said, I want this. And he said, but there's no hospital. There's nothing around here. How do we know there's a well in the yard? She says, well, this is the one I want. And, you know, and she got the property, and a beautiful property, really, and it still is very,
sure,
very beautiful.
Is, yeah.
And then about 5 or 6 years later, the hospital decided to build next to us.
And now there are several hospitals.
And then one day, mother said, well, we got to drill for water. We want a well in our property. Would you believe it? They call it St. Joseph's Well.
Oh, my goodness.
And they got it.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Now, when is this event? When is the, and Mary Ann Barathy just brought up a picture on her phone. It's quite beautiful. The monument is quite beautiful. Marianne, do you want to read that? I think that's. But when is this day?
It's May 20th at 10 a.m. at 520 East Vermont Street. We'll be in Vermont Street, obviously. We can't be at the location, exact
right.
location. The street will be closed for the dedication.
Oh, how wonderful.
And also, we're very happy to announce that the mayor has proclaimed that day Little Sister of the Poor Day in Indianapolis.
How incredible is that? How incredible is that? And when you think about it, really, May, the month of the Blessed Mother, I mean, women, this is such a women's organization, the month of the Blessed Mother, and May 20th. How beautiful. I'm getting
so
teared up just thinking
too.
About
me
it.
Too.
Really, really beautiful.
So beautiful. Yeah.
Now,
well,
Marianne,
it's kind of hard to read.
Okay, I'll read this. Little Sisters of the Poor, this is what it's going to say on the historical marker. The home was open to anyone age 60 with no means of support, regardless of race, religion, or ethnicity. The Little Sisters solicited alms daily to provide shelter, comfort, and basic nursing care for residents. Their dedication garnered widespread appreciation. In 1967, the home moved to 2345. Oh, that's interesting. 2345.
Mm-hmm.
West 86th Street as St. Augustine Home for the Aged, and it's a beautiful market, quite significant. It looks like it's maybe 3 feet by 4 feet, or
very nice. Yes.
The present facility, how large is it? How many residents do you have there?
Right now we have 96. We have apartments, we have intermediate care, we have skilled care, mm-hmm. and you know, it's divided up, and they all have private rooms now. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess when we first moved in, it was we had more than one in a room, three or four,
sure. mm-hmm.
but as time went on, and they all love their little privacy.
Now, is it still a requirement today that you just have to be able to walk over the threshold to get in? So you have to be able to walk in
not,
to the Little
not
Sisters
so much
or
that, because very often we would take somebody that's from this hospital.
From a hospital.
Yes, or whatever, wherever the need. Our idea is we have to take, and this, you know, we have a list of people waiting to come in.
Oh, sure.
Sure. But we're really obliged by law to take the poorest and the most needy.
The poorest and the most needy. So yes. so you do, although I have heard, I hate to say this on the air, sister, but I have heard of people giving away what they had so that they could get into the Little Sisters.
That's right.
I have heard that, sister.
I'm pretty sure that happens.
Miracles happen.
Miracles happen.
But we don't really do it on purpose because we don't
sure.
know it half the time.
Oh, sure.
We don't do a lot of investigation. We just count on the faithfulness of people. But it's true. I hear what you're saying.
They want to come in. You know, I had one question. to go back to your vocation story. And listeners, there are a few times when I wish this was TV and not radio, because if you could see Sister, and she's very humble, I'm sure, and would push this away, but you look like an angel. You just have a face of countenance and sweetness about you and stuff. Yeah, but I mean, when you were talking about your vocation and talking about your call, Sister, your whole face lit up. Your whole face lit up. And you're just very sweetly talking about it. You know, I wonder if I were your mother back then. I don't know, you didn't say how many brothers and sisters you had, but I might have tried to discourage you being the third one going into a convent. I mean, that means that my chances for grandchildren was going down significantly. So did you get any pushback at all?
I think they had, I came from a family, both of my parents were born in Ireland with a deep faith and... You know, I feel that, they felt it very much. I think I was the last girl.
Oh, dear.
Three brothers and three of us, three girls. And I was the last girl. And I think they felt it, but they said they could never say no to God.
Oh, mm-hmm. God bless them.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God bless them. So that kind of faith, incredible faith.
It is, yes.
Okay, Sister, we have just under 2 minutes left. I'm going to cede the last 2 minutes to our incredible panel here. What have we not said that we should have said? What do we need to reiterate here?
About the guild. Our wonderful St. Augustine Guild, which is celebrating their 50th year, we always can use wonderful volunteers. Uh-huh. And we can use them. We have them coming in to do beds, helping in the kitchen, helping in the laundry, putting... on parties and visiting residents. So if anybody's interested, we'll be glad to take you around on a tour first. And you can call me at the Little Sisters. The number is 317-415-5767. Ask for Mary Ann. But it's a great opportunity. It's like the stairway to heaven over there.
Amen. Amen.
And it's a fun place, and everybody... You know, there's love made visible, that's for darn sure.
And this event that's coming up at the end of the week, is the public invited?
Everyone's invited.
Oh, okay.
We invite the public. We've invited the city and state officials.
I'm sure the press will be there.
And the media, because the Indiana Historic Bureau is the one that granted us this wonderful marker. And they sent a press release out to many different offices. So we're hoping to have a large crowd there to celebrate this on May 20th at 10 a.m. at 520 East Vermont Street.
And we hope you can come too.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being our guest on Faith in Action.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.